So it's good to be here this morning, and I bet you all can recognize the type of person I'm about to talk about. So this guy, he already knows the answer before you even fully explain your problem, and he spends all day, every day, looking after one thing, one person. He's taking care of himself. So every day, he's out there doing what he wants to do, to provide for himself, to take care of his needs and his wants. And it really doesn't matter what other people around him need. He doesn't even notice it a lot of times. And so this ironic thing about this type of person, whether male or female, is even though they spend all their time trying to get for themselves, they wind up pretty empty. Even though they spend all their time trying to fill themselves up, they wind up hollow. And so a lot of us can recognize this. Some of us can say, I've seen that in the mirror even. That selfish drive is all, I'm just looking after number one. Another type of person is like this guy. And you see him yawn quite a bit. And it's because on Monday night, he was leading something. And on Tuesday night, he was taking care of kids. And on Wednesday night, he was here at church. And on Thursday night, he's helping somebody move. And on Friday, he's volunteering somewhere. And on Saturday, he's coaching. And he's just busy all the time. And he spends all of his time trying to save and help everybody around him. But he's super tired, and he's really stressed, and he yawns all the time. And even though he spends himself trying to help, he winds up dry inside and withered. And even though you might say, well, he's not selfish at all, but just like the first guy, he's pretty empty inside. He's poured and poured and poured and poured out, and there's really nothing left. So, Bob, neither one of those sound like good places to live. So what's the alternative?
You're right. Now, if you, just before I get to the alternative, if you saw somebody else's picture in one of those two pictures, go look in the mirror, okay? And I felt conviction because I actually had people pigeonholed there, and I wasn't either one of them. And that's not accurate. I've been one of those guys. In fact, I've been both of them more times I'd like to admit. And so there is an alternative. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3 today, and there's a little phrase I want to draw you to where the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ. And it's in that living, connected, intimate, daily, regular relationship with him that you fix those two issues. And as you live with him, he will help you not be so selfish. And as you live with him, he will allow you not to be so pressed into trying to please God or other people with your service. And if you're thinking, whoa, man, that's heavy-duty stuff, you need to wait for the end of the sermon, because at the end of the sermon, Jake's going to give you some real basic steps to get there. Nobody leapfrogs from one spot to another. So we're going to get there. So I want to say to you, this is the alternative to know Christ. We're going to unpack that. So, Jake, why don't you take us there?
Yeah, when you hear that phrase, I want to know Christ, you know, we believe Jesus is a man who lived 2,000 years ago. We also believe that he's God. He's always been existent. When we start to think about, I want to know Jesus, some of you might be like this Jackie Chan meme and just think like, what? Like, what does it even really mean to know Jesus? Like, if I made you guys, I'm not going to because I'm nice and it's summertime, but if I made you guys write some homework of, like, define this, what does it mean to know Christ? You guys might be writing pages and pages, or you might just sit there and look at a blank sheet and just think, like, I don't have anything to say. But the verse that we read, it doesn't end where we stopped it. It actually gives us a hyphen to mean, like, here's the definition of what that means. I want to know Christ. But then Paul explains it to us. He says, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So we've got four things he mentions there. But I want to know the power of Jesus. I want to participate in his suffering. I want to become like him in death, and I want somehow to have the new life that Jesus has. Now, that's probably not the definition any of us would have written down. But if you know Paul's life, he really lived with Jesus. He impacted the whole world, even us today, by the way he followed Jesus. So let's think about these four things he mentioned. He said power and suffering, and he said death and resurrection. Now, normally when we think of power and suffering, we think those are total opposites. We think with power, you've got freedom and strength, and with suffering, you've got subjugation and weakness, pain. With death and resurrection, with death, we think that's the end of the line. It's all over. There's nothing. And with resurrection, we think that's miraculous and life-filled. So normally, we have those words really separated in our mind. But I put a bow and arrow in the middle here. And did you notice, even as I said bow and arrow, like I didn't really say two words. I didn't say bow and arrow. I said bow and arrow, because that's how people talk about bow and arrow. Because no one ever uses a bow all by itself. No one says, like, oh, I just got this bow, and I'm going to go use it. Whenever they even would say that, you would know that they're talking about, well, they've got arrows, too. You know, when Rob goes hunting for doe or bucks or whatever, he doesn't just take a bow with him or just arrows with him, because they're useless by themselves. It's a package deal. And so there's such a package deal when we talk about them, even though they're two separate things, we've just kind of morphed it into one word, because you never have one without the other. Well, when Paul here is talking about knowing Jesus, he says it's a package deal. If you want to know Jesus' power, you've got to participate with his sufferings. If you want to be able to have the new life that Jesus has, you've got to die the way Jesus died. So we're going to try to talk through that a little bit today. Bob, can you get us started on it?
Yep. I'm going to take a couple of these phrases here, and then Jake's going to take the last one. Why don't you go ahead and move us there? So the package deal is power of his resurrection, participation in his sufferings. I'll talk about those two and let Jake get the last one. We'll kind of team up on that one. So there is a power. When you stop, I love that picture of the guy with the mug. When you stop saying, it's all about me, give it to me, all right? Or when you stop the striving, I'm working, 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 and you start living with the Lord, he does give you power. Jake is nicer than me. He asks people if he can talk about them in church. I don't. So if you all don't like that, tell Jake to get on my case, okay? All right, fair enough. So I learned today about somebody who I think has a wonderful walk with the Lord and who just serves him. And you all, let me just say, I have a million stories because of you. You all, we are really coaches, and you all really are the stars. And so it's wonderful to see that. So I had Sherry tell me. Sherry is our officer up there in the penny seats, way up there. And she told me a little story. Amen. She told me about Stephanie Vickers. Stephanie, you may not even know this. Guy was riding his bike in the rain. This was not Jake Taylor riding his bike in the rain. Jake has a car. This guy didn't have a car. In fact, he was carrying all of his belongings on a little buggy behind the bike in the rain. I guess it was last Sunday. And you can see that all around here. What you don't see so often is somebody like Stephanie, who just went to Starbucks and took her coffee and walked over to the guy and said, here, have my coffee. Huh? You all could applaud for that. Where do you get the power to stop a guy in the rain and to give him your Starbucks coffee that you spent $140 for? The power of Jesus in your life does that, okay? Katie, wave your hand there. Katie Smith, right there. Katie is in a small group that I'm a part of on Tuesday nights, and one of the things we're doing is we're trying to tap into the power of God. And Katie's been doing that before she ever joined our group, but she's certainly focused on it now. And Katie's a security guard down at the Price Chopper on Independence Avenue. And so she's not scared of anything, right? A lady has become an acquaintance of Katie's, and that lady's still living a pretty tough life on Independence Avenue. She's caught up in the drug world and everything else that goes with it down there. And Katie said, why don't we visit? Isn't that wonderful? So I will get out of myself, and I'll get out of my uniform, and I'll get into your life. Let's visit. Well, the lady sent her dad the other night to see Katie because they were supposed to meet. She got locked up instead. But the dad, this is so neat. The dad took his time out of his schedule to go meet Katie and say, she's coming just as soon as she gets out. And she did. Was it Monday night? What night was it? Thursday night. So she got out, and she came and met with Katie. And Katie said, let's go get in my car, turned on a little worship music in the car. And before the lady got out of the car, she met Jesus as her Lord, her Savior, as her best friend. Now, where do we get that power? If you are yawning and saying, it's all about me. Excuse me, that's the wrong one. If you got the mug and it's all about me. Or if you're yawning and you're striving in your own strength, a lot of that ain't going to happen. You've got people, your Starbucks, I mean, you must earn this. I can't give it to you. Or New Life. But if you give yourself to the Lord freely, you're able to let God work through you in the stories that I gave you. So that's one. The second one I want to talk about really quickly is participation in sufferings. We serve a God, the only God. There's a lot of world religions and there's a lot of talk about God in the world, okay? But we serve the only God who left the comfort and the glory of heaven to learn about where we are. And he is not isolated now in some little pocket up in heaven away from any difficulty. He still has a heart that longs for all of us, just this crowd, not counting the whole billions around the world. He longs for us to have full and abundant life. So how do we participate in his sufferings? We don't isolate ourselves. We don't stay back where we can be untouched, but we get involved with the lady in the front seat of her car or a guy riding a bike down 23rd Street or any number of the stories we could tell here today. We get involved. But when we get involved, it's sometimes messy. It'd be a whole lot easier to go run and pull the covers over our head than it would be to get involved. But as we get involved in the lives of people, we feel the heart of God. And we sometimes get scared. God doesn't get scared, but we sometimes get scared. We sometimes say, whoa, this is bigger than me. And it is bigger than us, all of us. And yet as we do that, here's what we experience. We experience the life of God working through us, helping other people. We find his companionship. It's a package deal, like Jake says. We have the power. We also are willing to go with him to places for the suffering. Now, why don't you take us to the next one?
Yeah, so this next one, becoming like Jesus in his death. The sad truth, I think a lot of us have probably realized, when you walk through with people who are dying, you find out a lot about their character. I don't know that there's any greater test on what's really inside a person than when they're facing their own death. And you see a lot about what's in them when that happens. And in front of our bulletin today with it being Memorial Day, we've got a lot of our family here at Maywood, our Maywood family that we've lost this last year. And I could talk about a lot of people that are listed like right there. But this week I decided to talk about somebody else I had in my life, earlier in my life. So a mentor of mine when I was growing up was Joey Butler. And Joey, here a couple years back, he was battling cancer, and it spread all through his body, and he knew he was dying. And yet, even in the midst of that, while he's going to the doctor and going to the nurses and tests, he's talking to people about Jesus, and he's witnessing to technicians on these machines, and he's investing in another generation of leaders, and he's building little crafts that he's giving away as gifts, as like mementos to people to remember God's goodness and that God's trustworthy. He's spending all these last months that he has still joyful and still faithful and still courageously facing what's ahead. And when you see that in somebody, you know that is true to them to their core. They're not just putting on a Sunday morning face. That's really what's inside of them. And when I think about the death that Jesus died for us and all the suffering that he went through for us, how was he able to do that? Well, what I believe about Joey is true is that Joey died to himself many, many times before he faced cancer. There were many years and many just mornings where he got up and said, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to live my life God's way. And because he did that over and over and over again, then he was ready to face even the cancer that he had to face. Like I said, we've seen other examples of that here at Maywood, too. Bob, I know you've got a story about Joey.
Yeah, it's really important just to talk about that, and I want to just echo what Jake said. Jake and I had Mexican food with Joey not too far before he died. And we were talking about, we had not worked on our transition plan here where he would succeed me, and we were talking about it. It was theory. We had the ideas there. And Joey just stopped our lunch and really gave me some words that I absolutely needed to hear about what we've been doing now for about the last year and a half. And it was extremely helpful. By the way, Jake is here because of Joey. Joey and I were friends. He called me up one day and said, "You don't need a staff member, do you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And thank God he sent this guy along. Amen. One of the things that you learn about people is when they're in tough physical condition, you know really what's on inside of them. And what Jake said about Joey's willingness to die to himself and to live to Christ every day was so evident in that lunch, because we went to support him. He ended up supporting us. And I think that's probably, if we polled a lot of people, that would be how he lived his life. So you learn a whole lot about us as we go ahead and die. But you don't get there overnight. He had surrendered his life over and over and over and over to God for years. And it was pretty natural then towards the end of his life to keep on surrendering. So why don't you take us and show us how to do that step by step. Take us from beginners all the way up to graduates.
Yeah, so some of you might still be sitting there like Jackie Chan thinking, like, how do I actually do this? Like, what does this mean to know God, to have a relationship with God that builds towards what people like Joey had? Well, I want to take us through kind of a journey that my wife and I went on this week. So my wife and I were both on our cell phones earlier this week, and we started dating, you know, around the time period after Facebook was already out. So there's this history of our whole relationship that you can see kind of these little glimpses of through Facebook. So we're going to take you on just a little bit of highlights here and just show you, here's how this relationship worked for us, and then I'm going to pull it back around, teach us some things about relating to Jesus. So beginning of the history tour is, this is the very first picture that will show up on Facebook of Chrissy and I. It's on the left there. So this is when Chrissy was getting her master's degree back in 2011, and we'd been dating for a few months at this point, but Chrissy had still not gotten, you know, any sort of input on my closet at that point. So I'm wearing a shirt. You can't really see the shirt pocket, but the shirt pocket's like down here because the shirt's way too big for me. And pants are probably too big for me. I'm just wearing basically the cheapest clothes I could find, probably. So, and then you go to a more recent picture. This is one of the most recent pictures of us on Facebook where Chrissy has probably chosen everything I'm wearing. So, so there's just a visual difference in the relationship right away. But then I'm going to show you guys, if you scroll on Facebook, when you're looking at messages, you can just start scrolling up. And you can just go backwards as far as you want to go. So that's what Chrissy and I did the other night. And this is the first message I ever sent to Chrissy on Facebook. This is back in 2009, about a couple years before we started dating. I'd come back from Mexico for a friend's wedding that she was also at. And we'd had this great conversation. I'd sat next to her at this bonfire thing because she was really pretty. And we'd had this great conversation. She's still obviously very pretty. And but then I went back to Mexico, and I sent this from Mexico, and even though I felt like we'd really hit it off, I thought, well, nothing's going to happen. I'm in Mexico for who knows how long, at least a year and a half, and so I sent this message. Yeah, it was great to get to talk to you the other night. I hope things go well for you this summer, and that you get a chance to finally taste some St. George's Donuts, the donut place I liked in the town that she lived in, but that, hope you have a good summer. This was May when I'm sending it, so it's kind of like a distancing. I wasn't really ready to get anything going at that point. Jump forward to when we're dating. This is now 2011. We just started dating a few weeks before this. And, or maybe even like, oh, yeah, like just a couple weeks before this. But anyways, first paragraph there is talking about she's getting her master's at Evangel, and I was taking a couple classes at a seminary right next door. And so I said, hey, can we get together maybe sometime here? I really want to see you. And then the second part there, that second paragraph is, I'd created this urban Frisbee thing at Missouri State, and there were guys still playing it. So I invited her to come play Frisbee with us later that week, because that was something that was special to me. And I kind of just wanted to see, like, what was she going to do in that environment? So I was eager to see that. I signed it lucky because I was super excited about her and cheesy. So then we jump forward to much more recently. We moved to Kansas City. We're married now, and it's just a weekday night, and I'm just wanting to go on a date with her out of the blue. So I'm talking about, hey, do you want to go down to the River Market? Here's some restaurants we could go to, and then maybe go for a walk.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Can you all on the front row see the term of endearment he has underneath his name? And the closer you get to somebody you love, the nicer you can call them things.
Right.
So just
it works both ways there, probably.
That's right. Yeah. So just go on, Jake. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. So at this point, you know, we have a really established relationship, but I'm still wanting to hang out more, wanting to do this special little date. And then the most recent message I sent to her was earlier this week. So I'm a pretty nerdy guy, and sometimes when I squirrel away spare time, I like to write creative stories. So I had asked Chrissy in the car the other day, what's a story you would want to read? Like, what's a character you would want to read about? And she told me she really likes sloths, like the little creatures that are furry. So she's like, I want to read about a girl zookeeper who has sloths, which is like the last thing that I wanted to write about. So one day, Monday morning, I guess earlier this week, I was up and I was doing some writing, and so I wrote a short little story about some girl with, you know, cute baby sloths. So I wrote her that story and then Facebooked it to her. So really random little picture of us, and I just showed you some fun little highlights. Obviously, there's sad things along the way, stuff like that. But at every stage, whether it was when I was in Mexico and not really ready to get started with anything, or when we've been married and I just wanted to spend a little more time with her, it would only ever take me 5 or 10 minutes to come up with how do I take the next step with Chrissy. I mean, it's not rocket scientists on a daily level. If you sit down and think, I want to get closer to this person I like or this person I love, typically you can come up with something. I mean, it doesn't have to involve sloths or whatever, you know, but you can come up with something on your own of saying, I want to get a little closer. And it doesn't take that much thought to come up with an idea. So when we think about getting to know Jesus, you might be at a very different spot than the person next to you or the person in front of you. Maybe you're here today and you're like I was in Mexico and you're thinking, I'm not ready to commit. I'm new to this. I like what I see, but I'm not ready to get involved. But maybe you can think of a step you can take to just investigate a little bit more. Maybe just show up here for a small group on Wednesday and just look into this a little more. Or maybe you're like me when I was playing Frisbee and just wanted to spend some extra time with Jesus, but you want to open up a new area of your life to Jesus. Say, my friends and I do this, or my coworkers and I do this thing. How can I bring Jesus into it? How can I involve Jesus in this thing I like doing? Or maybe you've been coming here to Maywood for years, but you still need to spend some quality time with Jesus. And you think, you know what? What day this week am I going to have a date with Jesus? You know, what day this week am I going to spend hours with Jesus? Do something special. Go to a pretty place and spend some quality time with Jesus. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm ready to open up something that I'm talented in, or some hobby I have, or something I like to do. Ready to open it up and say, I want to do this for Jesus. I want to build something or make something or do something for Jesus. So wherever you're at today, we're having our time of response here. The worship team is coming up. I want you to be thinking about, I'll get to the slide here in just a second. I want you to be thinking about, how am I going to respond to Jesus? Maybe you pull out the notepad in front of you and write a little message to Jesus and say, Jesus, this week, will you hang out with me on Tuesday night? We'll go get some great burritos or something, you know? Or maybe you say, Jesus, I'm going through something really hard in my life. I feel this way. Would you go on a walk with me this afternoon? And I just want to talk about how I feel, and I want you to understand it, and I want to hear what you have to say about it. So Paul said, I knew Jesus, and I want to know him better through his power, through his sufferings, and through his death. Some of us are scared of all three of those. When you read the Gospels about Jesus in the Bible, he does miraculous things that nobody around here is doing. He's healing people left and right. He's changing people's lives. He's standing up to evil governments. He's making lots of people mad in all the right ways. He's suffering. He's getting abuse all the time and taking it quite a bit of the time. He's standing up for people that are getting tread on. That's the sort of power that Jesus had in his life, and it's scary for us to start to get a taste of that. Some of us are scared of it. We want Jesus to save us and take us to heaven, but we don't necessarily want to live that power-filled life today. Or some of us, when we're going through something hard, we don't want to open our eyes and actually look for God in the midst of that suffering. We don't want to say, God, how can I know you better through this trial? The last thing is, some of us just don't want to die to ourselves and say, God, I want to let go of me so I can live for you. Today, don't miss this day. Write your little Facebook message to God before you leave here today, whether you think it in your mind or you write it out, and say, God, here's the next step I want to take with you. It's not the same step that Tommy's going to take. It's not the same step that Rob's going to take. Okay, it's not the same step that Stephanie's going to take. But it's the step I'm going to take this week with Jesus. Say, I want to know you better. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us so much. You have such a passion to know us. And God, I pray today by your grace, you would give us that same passion to know you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and respond.